Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Everyone's sort of awake a little bit. What's like, I did this a little bit this morning. Let's knock out the special participants. Who didn't make it to midnight last night? And you could be totally proud about that. Who, let me see the hands. Okay. Who didn't make it to 10? Oh, okay. 8. You made it past 8? Okay, so somewhere around there, cool. Okay, what about the latest? So raise your hands if you were up till midnight. So hopefully everyone else's hands are up. Okay, made it to 2, or you were awake till 2. You were awake till 4. Raise them high, I wanna see the 4. 4 a.m.s. Who never went to sleep is still awake? Nobody? Dolan, you didn't go to sleep at all? Okay, so like 4, 5, probably something in there. Wow, what were you doing? Ukulele, okay. That's cool. I was at the house of one of my fiance has a friend, and there's a bunch of families that were there, and they all have like little kids. And so what they do every year, and I got to witness it this year, was that apparently on Netflix they have like a countdown with like King and Julius from the Madagascar movies. And so at like 9 o'clock, they're like, all right, let's count down to midnight. And so they gave all the kids like pots and pans and all these balloons and stuff. And they had a fake countdown. So the kids were like, Happy New Year at like 9 a.m. So the parents are like, sweet, let's go to bed now. And so the parents are excited because they didn't have to stay up till midnight. The kids are excited because they think they stayed up till midnight. So everybody kind of ends happy. So it was pretty cool just to like see that and witness that. I like watching it. Like, I feel like me as a child, like, I feel like 5-year-old Adam would have been like, I'm not buying this. But I don't know, maybe just the overwhelming excitement would have blinded me to the truth. But it was fun. It was a good way to definitely start the new year. You guys excited for 2017? Excited that 2016 is over? Yeah, probably a lot of us. It's really great, and I'm excited for what is to come. And it definitely worked out. What we're going to be looking at tonight, which if you have your Bibles, which everybody had one, that was awesome. I don't think I've ever seen that. So I don't know if it was just like a, like this is the first day of the year and it'll never happen again, but I think it's cool that you all had your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 136, and this psalm is so great. I think it's a wonderful psalm to really kick off the new year, and I'll be explaining why in just a moment. So we're going to be in Psalm 136, and as you guys turn there, let's go ahead and pray. So Father God, we come before you and I thank you so much for just this new year, for bringing us here and giving us the opportunity to worship and fellowship and now just hear your word. I pray that you would use me, anoint me, Lord, to bring forth what you want said as we just examine this psalm, examine your word, and just take a look at what you have to say. And Lord, we're so excited to start this new year with you, and we just give you all praise and glory. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So before we start, I'll ask you guys a really quick question. Have you ever taken something for granted? Is there something, maybe someone, that you find that maybe along the way you find yourself maybe forgetting or losing interest in? Hopefully it's not your spouse, but something like that, where something, you know, you just kind of take for granted. Pastor Chris, our high school pastor, he asked this question with our high schoolers, and I work with our high schoolers, and he brought up the whole thing with like Christmas presents, as we were talking about Christmas and stuff like that. And he brought up some good points. I think Christmas presents are one of those things sometimes that after a while we kind of lose interest in. You know, maybe not right away, especially if it's like that really big thing that you wanted. You know, you probably get good use out of it. But even then, over time, it may like lose its shine a little bit. I remember when I was a kid, you know, video games were all the things. So, and I was always like a step behind in generation. Like when everybody got PS3s, I'd barely gotten a PS2. Like when everybody had N64s, I just got my Sega Genesis. I was always like, it's been like that way with technology for everything. Like when everyone was like, yeah, iPhones, I was still like, whatever, mine flips. And I thought I was super cool. And so technology is one of those things. And I think like looking at that, like when I got my Sega Genesis, I was so excited. I was like, Sonic, this is amazing. And, you know, but over time, it kind of loses its, you know, excitement, especially when you got the PlayStation 3 and 4 and all these things coming out, and the graphics get better, the games get better. I recently like plugged back in my old Sega Genesis, and after like a little bit, I was like, all right, I'm done with this. Like, I want to go back to like my newer things. And so I think there's things that definitely, I think over time, we start to get tired of, or at least we start to lose interest in. And I think God is one of those entities. Not that we like lose our love for him necessarily, but I think it's very easy for us to sometimes lose interest over time, or not keep the same excitement as maybe we do have at a certain point in our lives. You know, maybe you go to that retreat or that camp or that special time that you just, you know, you kind of get that fire going and you're excited. But usually what happens over time is it starts to kind of go back to the way. It's just like, yeah, like I love God, but my, you know, it kind of loses that fire. And I think this passage, Psalm 136, if you ever feel that way, read this psalm, and we're going to examine why I think that the depth of this psalm and what the author has to say about the characteristics of our God, I think does such a wonderful job just painting this picture of how awesome God is. And so, like, tonight, like, usually when I teach, I'm like, not that I like love convicting people, but usually a lot of times like my messages can be like convicting-ish. This message is going to be one of those like, God's awesome, so feel great. So I hope you're like ready for that kind of a message. And I think it's a good one to like kick off the new year with. So we're going to be looking at four characteristics of God. We're going to be looking at his deity, his creativity, his power, and his personal touch with us. Those are the four points we're going to be talking about, and I'll repeat those as we go. So first we're going to look at is God's deity, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 first of chapter 136 of Psalm. And it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." Spoiler alert, after every line, "for his mercy endures forever" is said. So I'm just like warning you now, that's going to be said a lot. And I'm going to wait till the very end to kind of dive into that aspect of the scripture. But first, we're going to look at these three verses. And these three verses really jump into God as deity. And what I mean by that is the author is describing God as God, as a godhood, as being this almighty, this absolute supreme God. The way he first describes him, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord," and the way it's capitalized, it's referring to his name, Jehovah. And that's really expressing this eternal name of God. It's personalizing God so that we see that God isn't just this like abstract entity. He's a person. He's a being. He's someone we talk to. He's someone we worship. The author then goes into, oh, give thanks to the God of gods. And this word for God, it's very common, but what it's doing is it's referring to God in a very supreme way. That God is supreme. Over any other quote-unquote gods that people may worship, our God is supreme. Over all other spiritual entities, angels, demons, anything like that, God is supreme. Our God is the absolute supreme entity. And the author is wanting to convey that to us and encouraging us to give thanks to the supremeness of God. And thirdly, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. And when he's talking about Lord, it's where we get our word Adonai, master. And he's speaking, he's appealing to God's nature of being our master. So we have Jehovah, he's personal. We have God of gods, he's supreme. And we have Lord of Lords, he's our master. All three of these really speak of God's deity, his Godhead. And I think that's so important for us to observe and to really understand. I think it's one of those things that over time, we tend to forget or neglect. I think it's very easy to almost put God in this lower box without really thinking of his magnitude, of how great and how grand and how big God really is. Which really makes, when we think of how much he loves us, so much more amazing. The fact that this supreme being, this ultimate master, this Jehovah loves us, and we should be thanking him, and we should be praising him. But putting it in this perspective, putting God in the place that he deserves to be in as deity, I think for us is just such a crucial reminder of remembering who God really is. And maybe you're in that place tonight where you've kind of forgotten that, or you've kind of put God to the side. You know, I don't know where you're at, but he is definitely someone we need to respect. He deserves our respect. He deserves our love. He deserves our praise, our glory, our thanks. And when we think of how awesome he is, when we think of how majestic he is, he's our master, he's our God, our supreme one. I mean, it just brings us to such a humble state and such a state where I believe it's at that point that God could really work with us, because we're brought to the point where we realize who God really is in perspective to ourselves. Remembering that, man, we're so low, we're so minute, so tiny compared to him, but he loves us anyways. And so the first thing, God is deity. The second thing we're looking at in verse 4, the author breaks away from that perspective, and now he moves on to God is creative. Do you know really creative people? Like people that are just always maybe drawing or writing stuff down. I mean, not that those are the only kinds of creative people, but when I think of a creative person, I think of like those people that are always drawing and stuff. When I was younger, I used to read like a lot of comics. They were Garfield, and they were awesome. And I always like, I had like the really big fatty Garfield books that had like three books in one, and I would go to the library and I'd get like three of those at a time. And, you know, the author, Jim Davis, he always puts the date, like, in his comic strip. And usually they're, like, three panels each, except for the Sunday ones. Those ones were always, like, the multi-paneled. And, like, they would have one, he would have one for, like, every day. And I was always like, man, he does one of these, like, every day? Like, I would run out of ideas so fast. Like, how many times can Garfield hate Mondays and eat lasagna? And it'd be funny to me. I couldn't, like, understand that. And then my brother, I believe, is a very creative person. When we were younger, he used to like write his own comics. And like he used to read books like Captain Underpants and stuff like that. And then he would like write his own comic books. And we were cleaning out our garage over the summer and we found some of them. And they were pretty legit. Like, I was like, this is totally better than some of the TV shows that I see, like, kids watching nowadays. Like, this should be a TV show. But I just thought it was so creative. You know, he was probably, like, 8 or 9 when he was drawing and writing these things. And I was very impressed with just his creativity. But thinking of his creativeness and then comparing that to God, we're going to see right now how the author describes him. So look at verse 4. It says, to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. And the author here appeals to creation. And he goes back and he references, you know, if you go back and look at Genesis and the account of creation, he looks at that and the 6 days God took to create everything. And he spells out God's creativity, showing us that, man, all we have to do is go outside and look around and we're able to see what God created. And what's amazing, I think, about God's creation isn't just the fact that he like created everything. I mean, that's amazing in and of itself. But then I think when you think of how everything is sustained, when you think of galaxies and nature and, you know, all these different things, scientific terms, gravity and all this kind of stuff that just continues. And scientists don't understand how everything is held together so perfectly, because in their minds, everything should just be spiraling out of control. But the fact that everything stays together, and they try to assign all these like theoretical ideas to it, string theory and M theory, and they're like, it's the dark matter. And it's like, that sounds like something from a comic book. And, you know, is what holds the universe. It oozes this matter that keeps everything together. But the fact that the universe itself continues in motion constantly, held together by God. I think it's so easy, you know, even with all these theories and these things that are thrown out, I think the answer is clear. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, but it says, he is, speaking of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And in Jesus, in our God, everything has been created and everything exists. Jesus, our God, is that answer. The answer to what has created, how does everything, you know, be? How is everything sustained? It's because of God. And just the fact that it continues because of his wisdom. The author goes into the wisdom that he had to have to make the heavens, laying out a water, lights, the moon, the sun, all these things. We have a creative God. And again, just like seeing his Godhead, I think the fact that we have such a creative God deserves our reverence and respect. I think the fact that we have such a creative God warns us to just be like, man, Lord, I just want to praise you. Because you are so inventive, the things that you have created, the mountains, the seas, everything around us, just for your glory. Things to bless us. I mean, when you think about just everything that is out there that he created, and it's beautiful and wonderful, we have such a creative God. You know, he could have done things any other way possible, but he made such beauty for us to enjoy because he loves to enjoy us. And I think it's such a wonderful thing to remember. I think it's such a wonderful thing to point us to him, to realize that he's created it, he's built it, and it's gonna keep going until he decides to end it. You know, it's like the kid who gets Legos. You guys like Legos? Legos are awesome, but I found out they're incredibly expensive nowadays. They, especially if it's like Legos, Star Wars. Like I was at Disneyland and I was looking for a present for like my brother, and I was like, oh, he's 25, he likes Legos, I'll get him some Legos. And I was like, I'll get him the Star Wars one. I picked up like an X-Wing and it was like $150. I was like, it's plastic. Like, what the heck? But it was, you know, Legos, you know, it's like that kid who has Legos. And at first, you know, they pour it out and it's just like a rubble of nothing. And then they build it and hopefully they build it right. And then it's all of a sudden this like awesome, you know, created thing. Until their brother comes in and throws it and smashes it, and all of a sudden it's in pieces again. You know, the difference being is that God didn't open a box of something and just put things together. He just created it from nothing, and no one could take it from his hands and smash it down until he says, you know what, I'm done with this. And he does what he's going to do at the end in an even more creative way than we could even imagine. And so we just see God's creativity. The next thing, we've seen him in his deity. We've seen him in his being creative. Now we're going to look at him being powerful. The fact that God is powerful. It's going to be in verse 10. It says, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. He's definitely trying to make a point with that phrase. And we see God in his ultimate power taking down nations, taking down people and nature, proving that nothing has power over him. And the author decides to go back to the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And we know that story. We know about the plagues. We know about the Red Sea, Israel crossing, all these amazing things, systematically taking down Egyptian gods with every single plague. Every plague designed to take down one of their gods and the power they thought that they had. And God just ultimately destroyed any chance of them thinking that their gods were real and stood any kind of chance. God just stepped up to the plate and knocked it out of the park and delivered them and showed his power to them. These verses are speaking of his dominion, of his power over literally everything, the nature he created, the people he created, everything, showing his strength in how he delivered them, the crossing of the Red Sea, which was such a monumental moment for Israel. We see him just single-handedly destroying Pharaoh's forces as they're trying to chase down Israel. We see that he took down way more kings than were probably even mentioned in the Bible, these famous ones. We see that God constantly took care of Israel in the wilderness, leading them through every situation. And then when they were messing up and they had to be taught a lesson, God used his power to take care of them, sometimes sternly, but he still took care of them. And even in verse 10, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. Man, I think this speaks volumes because it shows God's power over one of the most powerful things in the world, over death and life, the fact that he controls it all, the fact that God is ultimately in control over death and life. I think that just speaks massively of how powerful and how real our God is. And as I read this portion, as I was reading this and seeing just really truly how powerful God is, I just got this like overwhelming sense of peace. That man, if our God is this powerful, if our God is this real and is in this control, then there's nothing I have to worry about. And as we enter into this new year, and you know, through all the different things that are maybe scaring us about this year, whether it's political or national, international, all these things that are going on, that seems like the world is just like a frenzy. It's just going nuts. And it's almost like we're just left standing here watching it happen, knowing that God is in absolute control and knowing that he has absolute power to do anything he wants. I mean, just gives me peace. That no matter what is going on, no matter what scary things may be happening, ultimately, God has the power. God is powerful enough to do whatever he wants. If he's letting things happen, it's because he's got a plan. If he sees fit to intervene, he's gonna do that because he's powerful enough to do that. And just trusting in God's power that, and knowing that he is in that absolute control. I mean, it's scary sometimes when we think, and it got me thinking even whenever it's like New Year's like this, I always think back to Y2K. How many of you guys were like around with Y2K? How many kids are in here that were not born yet for Y2K? Were they not born yet? Oh yeah. Y2K, like I remember I was like 14 then, I think, 13 or 14. I was scared. I remember that New Year's Eve, like I was like, okay, as soon as the countdown happens, the lights are gonna shut off, everything's gonna explode, and God's coming back. So like, I remember I had my drink, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna have a glass cup because if like I leave, it'll shatter. So I was just like, I'm gonna use my plastic one. And I remember the countdown. And I mean, when we count down now, everyone's like, 10, 9, everyone's like loud. I remember being that one and being like, 10, 9, 8, and kind of like backing up into stuff. And like, I got to one and I like closed my eyes and it was like, and nothing happened. And it was like, oh, it's kind of anticlimactic. It's the same thing with 2012. And everyone was like, oh, the Mayans were right. In 2012, everyone's like, oh man. But you know, even in that kind of fear, you know, people, I remember stocking up on all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think we bought like 2 cases of waters, and I was like, I don't know what the point of that was, father and mother, but you know, cool. We got water, at least 2 cases. But you know, I think of these things that just freak us out and scare us about the world around us. But knowing that God is in the ultimate control, he's in the driver's seat, man, that gives me peace. Seeing his power over all these situations, these things that look so bleak, these things that look unsurmountable, I mean, taking down an empire, you know, that's our God. That's the same God that is our deity. It's the same God that is creative. It's the same God that is this powerful. And I love that we're able to look to his power, and I love worshiping his power. You know, I think a lot of times when we're worshiping and stuff, we sing so much about the gentleness about God. When I think, man, I love singing about his power and just remembering that aspect of him. I love thinking of him in this loving, merciful, gracious God, but I also love thinking about him in this powerful, you know, being that is on the throne and just conducting everything. And I love that I get to look to him to be in control of everything. It's just wonderful. So we've seen now, we've gone through 3 points. We've talked about his deity, his creativity, his power. Last point is that God is personal. God is personal. And we're going to look at verse 23. It says, "Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." I love that the author ends on this point. I love the fact that the author decides he could have ended with his power or his creativity or his Godhead. I love the fact that the author ends with him being personal. Because looking at his deity, looking at his creativity, creating this massive world, this universe, looking at his power and how he's taken down nations and nature and all these things, it's enough to be a little intimidating. It's enough to look at God and picture him as like this kind of like scary, distant, big God. But the fact that he ends with this, that he remembers us in our lowly states, that he rescues us from our enemies, that he gives food to us, brings him on such a personal and real level that I think it makes everything else in this chapter make so much more sense and gives me so much more joy, because it doesn't leave God to be this like separate being. And I think sometimes, you know, definitely a lot of people I know, but even us that love God tend to, I think, push God away in this like, well, you're so awesome and powerful that there's no way that we have like this personal relationship. When the exact opposite is true, the fact that he is so powerful, the fact that he is so creative, the fact that he is Jehovah God and still has this personal, real, amazingly intimate relationship with us, with you and with me, I mean, it just makes me want to skip and dance and run for joy, because knowing and trusting that kind of God is so much better than anything else. And I think of, you know, so many of these religions who worship these gods that are like scary and angry all the time. And I'm just like, man, I would never want to like be in that religion. But we have this God who is personal, who looks forward to hearing what you have to say, who looks forward to hearing your stories and wants to know about your day and wants to know about the things that are going on. No matter how tired you think he may be, he's never tired for you. And, you know, the fact that he knows just everything about us. I mean, I have close friends who definitely know, like, probably just about everything. And maybe you're married and, you know, like, my spouse knows everything about me, or, you know, my bestie knows everything about me or something like that. But God knows everything about us. Every little detail, every little thing, he knows and he wants to know. And I think that's what makes God so personal, is not the fact that he's up there and it's like, okay, I got to do my duty and listen to this fool again. Like, he's like excited about it. He loves hearing from you. You know, the small things, the big things, whatever's going on in your life, he wants to know about it. He wants to hear about it. And I love that we have that God that is so personal. The God that remembers us when we're lonely. The God that feeds us when we're hungry. The God that protects us from those that want to do us harm. I mean, that's the kind of God we serve. And I love that he's not left to just being this distant God, but he is someone who meets us where we're at and is willing to be with us at whatever state we're in. And maybe you're here and you don't feel that close to God. You know, he's just waiting. He'll meet you where you're at, wherever you feel comfortable. He's willing to be there with you. You know, and just thinking about, you know, this last year, and maybe some of you guys had a great year. Maybe you guys look back on 2016 and you're like, that year was awesome. Maybe you're looking back at 2016 and I'm not even talking about like from a like world perspective, but I'm talking about you personally, your year. Maybe it wasn't that great. But the fact that you're here tonight, the fact that you're alive and breathing and willing to be here worshiping this God, I'd say you've had a good year because you're here, right where maybe you wouldn't picture yourself being, but you're here tonight, sitting at his feet, eager and ready to receive from him what he has to say. And I just think that's awesome. And no matter what the year has been like, ultimately God has been in control of it. And ultimately he's brought you through everything that you've gone through, thick and thin, tragedy, loss, great, wonderful, joyous times. And he's brought you here on January 1st, 2017. And that in and of itself is a blessing. That in and of itself is wonderful. And I think this repeated phrase that we looked at, for his mercy endures forever, for his mercy endures forever, for his mercy endures forever, I'm pretty sure he wanted us to know that his mercy endures forever. And speaking here, you know, his mercy, speaking of his kindness, his grace, his love that he has for each and every one of us, forever, which means constant, unending. It doesn't just mean that it's like forever in like a distant sense of the word, but it's now, and it's at this moment, and it's at that moment, and it just continues. It never ends. It never stops. His mercy, his goodness, his grace, his faithfulness to us is constant and unending and unwavering. No matter what you do, there's no way you could stop his mercy from enduring forever for you. There's nothing that you've done that is so terribly bad that God is like, nope, my mercy's done, sorry. God doesn't function that way. I don't care what you think or what you've heard, that's not the way God functions. Because God's mercy endures forever. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what place in life you're in, tonight, God's mercy is with you. And his grace and his love and his faithfulness and all of his wonderful attributes you've got tonight, no matter where you're at. What an awesome thing to remember as we start this new year. And as we begin 2017, I encourage you guys tonight to leave whatever drama and whatever, you know, flesh and sin and things, you know, whatever it is that's weighing you down. Maybe it's not a sin thing, but it's just this weight that's keeping you from really enjoying your Christian life. Leave it at the door. Tonight is the night to start things fresh. We've got a new year, new opportunities, new chances. But you know what the insane thing is if you go out and mess up tonight, tomorrow, his mercy's there too. His mercy is constant. And I love that about our God. I love that he is deity, that he is our God. I love that he's creative. I love that he's powerful. And I love that he's personal. Because all those attributes speak to the fact that he loves us, and that love never goes away or disappears, it's always there. And tonight, as we worship a little bit more, and as we fellowship, and as you guys go home, think about that, meditate on that. Wake up in the morning, whether you're working or you get to enjoy the day off again, just focus on that. Embrace that reality, that truth, that God is real, that God loves you, and that love is constant. Amen? Let's pray. So Father God, we come before you, and we thank you so much just for that constant goodness, the fact that it never ends, the fact that your mercies, your love, these attributes that completely encompass who you are, your creativity and your power, your deity, your personal touch, Lord, it's constant. It never stops. No matter the situation that we're in, no matter the issues we're dealing with, no matter the tragedies we've suffered, Lord, you, your love, your patience, your kindness, your mercy, it continues. And it never, ever stops. Lord, help us to cling to that tonight. To that truth. Help us to embrace that in a way like we never have before, that we would know without a shadow of a doubt how much you truly love us. And we thank you and we praise you for that love. realizing that as big as you are, as powerful as you are, as awesome as you are, you love us and you love loving us. Thank you so much for that love. We praise you tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.